I'm glad to see you, first of all, and excuse me if I'm a little scratchy today. I think I've got a way more intimate connection to the cedar than than I care to have this year, and it came on really, really fast. So I have on my little don't hug me stick a pin when I'm, just in case. But that's why I wore my snuggly sweater today. But I have on sparkly shoes. When I first came to Unity 31 years ago, I found something that satisfied me intellectually, and it satisfied my soul as well. And I hadn't found anything that met those criteria before. And so it was very encouraging to me to find something that I could relate to, something that just kept taking me deeper and deeper and deeper. And being a little bit of a religious hummingbird up until that point, to have landed with Unity and stayed there for 31 years is something, well, let's just say it's outlasted marriages. Although I'm sure Bill and I are going to get there, you know. We're already at 20-something. 22 years, yes. But one of the things that also bothered me a little bit was it felt like when I started looking at the metaphysical interpretation of things, which is not new with Unity. Metaphysics has been around since Plato. It's the ideas underneath the thing. It's the thought before the form. It's the deeper meaning to something. But when I first started studying metaphysics, I was like, are you going to take away my Jesus? Are you going to take away my Christmas story? Are you going to take away the things that I've treasured and held all my life? And the truth was, it didn't take it away, but it brought me into another place of spiritual maturity to which I was ready to rise, as are you. And so when I talk about the Christmas story, I'm not trying to take away any of the magic of the story of Christmas. It's always going to be a story of Christmas. It appeals to us the same way any story begins with once upon a time. You can say once upon a time to a room full of adults, and everybody suddenly goes, because we love the story. And I also want to say I really appreciate you guys not storming the bookstore before I had a chance to finish this talk today. So I heard what you did about bowls. And so I'm just going to ask you to treat each other kindly as you go into the bookstore today. So today's story, of course, is about the minor players in the Christmas story. And that would be the story of the shepherds, the story of the magi, the story of a lowly stable in a little town that had animals sharing the stable. Now, through the years, a metaphysical interpretation has been applied to everything from the donkeys to the angels. Not going to do that today. But I will say this. We have the story. Rich, would you hand me my glasses, please? Thank you so much. We have the story of the Magi in the book of Matthew, the story of the shepherds in the book of Luke. Now, I think it was pretty far along in my life that I realized magi was plural for mage, and a mage is a wise person. So these were the magi were sages, they were mages, they were probably astronomers, and they came from Persia. And Persia was a great center of learning. So there may have been there may have been some kind of rare astronomical event that occurred that made them want to follow where that star was, where it might be shining the brightest. And of course, they would have used their instruments and tools to find that. But the other thing that was drawing them there was the great magnetic force of the universe, which is love. It's the great magnetic unifying force of the universe, period. And so this story is about love, because every time we're drawn into something that's greater, every time we're drawn to something that may be mysterious to us, but is absolutely imperative that we follow that guidance, we're being drawn to love. And so they went and they followed the star and they found this baby. They found this young mother and her husband. And they knew that they were looking upon something extraordinary. Now, metaphysically, the Magi are the wisest parts of us. They're the parts of us who know when we have come upon something that touches us deeply and protects it and honors it and brings gifts to it. Gifts of our attention, gifts of our respect. So that's who we are interiorly. We are Magi. Because have you ever noticed that when you do have some kind of an amazing experience, and you're in wonder, and you're in awe, those are the gifts that you're bringing to that divine inspiration, that divine revelation, that unexpected gift. They didn't know what they were going to find, but they knew that it was special enough that the story in Matthew says that because they knew King Herod was looking for something that was a little suspicious about this baby child, that they took a different route home so that they would not be intercepted by King Herod. So they wanted to protect this thing that had happened, this incredible thing. They knew that there was something special about this baby and its mother. Did they need to know what? No. We don't get the what until later. We don't get all the significance until later. I wonder sometimes if the Magi heard about what happened as Jesus walked about sharing and teaching in his adult life. I wonder if they went, "Oh, I was there when that one was a babe." So the Magi are you. And only you know what your gold and your frankincense and your myrrh are. And most of us in here have some connection to essential oils because we're kind of crunchy that way. And we know how they appeal to us. We know how they work upon us. And these were resins and oils and gold that they were bringing into this stable. Now, that's one end of the spectrum. The other end of the spectrum was that it was a stable. And if you've ever been in a stable, well, they're a little messy, and they have their own particular aroma. But I like to think about those animals of the barn that have their own intuition. They have their own humility. The animals of the stable are not trying to be greater than they are. They're being exactly who they are. I don't know of a donkey that has aspirations except to be as donkey as it can possibly be. That does have your experience with a donkey. They can aspire to be exactly who they are as very stubborn little creatures. But I like to think that in that night when there was a human laboring to bring this child into the world, the animals knew. They knew. And given their intuitive nature, they just let it be, and they were quiet. We have that in us too, don't we? We have that which is humble. We have that which is simple. We have that which is innocent. We have that which is satisfied to be exactly who we're meant to be. So that was present. Oh, and by the way, those of you who've done a little reading on this know that it's possible that this birth, if it happened the way we've heard the story, it probably wasn't on December the 25th. Given that there was not yet a Gregorian calendar by which we could measure that date, there's a good chance he was born in the spring. But you know why Christmas came at the time it did. Because every place that Christianity was brought where there were already earth religions, they kind of wanted to integrate it into the rituals that were already existing. And there is a ritual that does exist right around the solstice. Is that okay with you? Are you okay if Jesus was not born near the end of December? Okay, good, good. Do you care when he was born? Okay, good. Do you really care if the Magi were there? Because it doesn't really matter, does it? We have these stories. We have fables. We have oral traditions. We have once upon a time. And those stories exist because they're an archetypal part of human nature. We need stories to explain things to us, to open up our sense of wonder, to open up another gateway inside of us that takes us to a different level of understanding. And so that's why this story continues to be so special. I'll tell you what, I didn't know that Do You Hear What I Hear was written 7 years after I was born. I thought it was around forever. You know, I thought it was around before I was a kid. So I'll have to talk to my parents about that. What did you think about that song when it came out? Because I didn't know it was that new. 1962 is new, by the way. For you whippersnappers out there. And then we have the other group that came. So these shepherds out in the field, an angel came to them. How interesting. Something happened. Remember, you're going to hear me say that a lot about these Bible stories. Something happened. That these shepherds in the field were trusting enough to leave their flock. That's pretty trusting, because this was their livelihood. This was who they were supposed to look after, were their flocks of sheep. And so they left, and they said, let's go see if what the angel said was true. And so the shepherds, again, in a more sophisticated way, are innocence and humility and trust. And so that's what lives in us as well. Think about a situation in your life in which you don't know what the solution is today. And oh my goodness, our brains get busy for solutions, don't they? You know what it feels like when it's cranking away? Smoke coming out of your ear. Just one ear. Smoke coming out because you're trying to figure out how to solve this thing and solve this thing, and you just keep going around and around and around and around on it, and it gets you nowhere. What if we could be a shepherd and trust that love is drawing us towards something greater? It's drawing us to leave what we know behind so that we can see something new. You ever think of it that way? Those trusting shepherds. So we have all these players who show up in a place where something extraordinary was happening, drawn there by stars, angels, happenstance, all drawn by that magnetic force for which we lit the pink candle today, the candle of love. Because in the end, was that not the message that Jesus came with? He said, yes, you have the law, but there is something greater than the law, and that is love. Love for God, love for yourself, love for your neighbor. Big, big message. The message. So why not? There be characters there at the beginning of this extraordinary life to affirm exactly what he was going to do. Now let me ask you, is this too far a stretch? Are you tracking with this? It makes sense, doesn't it? I love the story that way. I love it. Because it doesn't take away any of the magic. It makes the magic greater. If we start to deconstruct the story a little bit and look at the high to the lowly. And love is also the great leveler, the great equalizer. I was listening to NPR today on my way in instead of Queen or the Rolling Stones or Earth, Wind & Fire or some of the other music. Thank you, John, sending me some music this week. There's a film that's been made that won an award at Cannes this year, and it's about the displaced people in Beirut and the children that are living in terrible conditions. And there are no extras in this. These are people that are experiencing this. When the filmmaker asked some of these children, are you happy that you're alive? Most of them said, no. No, I'm not happy to be alive. This is hard. Now, what shall we do about that? What shall we do? Those of us who know love and security and peace, we can do as we're guided to do with our social action, but we can also drench that situation in love. And we can drench children on the border in love. And we can drench people who are experiencing the ravages of civil war in Africa in love. And we can drench our family members with whom we don't get along in love. And we can drench every single person we encounter in love, because this is the season for us to do that. Consciously. Otherwise, why have it? And you see, we have light, and we have the candles, and we have the birds that are peaceful. And we have your representations of your families here. And we have flowers and we have beauty to remind us that this is a season of light and love for us to share. Because something happened. Something happened enough that 2,000 years later, the legend lives on. And I can promise you that in churches across the globe that are Christian, there will be plays, and there will be little plastic dolls or little real babies laying in a representation of a manger. There will be churches that hire camels to come in. The story will be acted out over and over and over again because at the core of it is love. That was the bright star. That was the messenger angel. That was Mary. That was those wise men who knew to believe something beyond their understanding, which was great. It's those shepherds who were unsophisticated, who left their flocks to say, wow, look at this. And there were those animals with their quiet animal sounds, and in the end, that good earthy smell, scent. All of that was there. And it's still magic, no matter how we interpret it, no matter whether it actually happened or not. So as you go about the next 10 days, gosh, is that how close it is? Oh my gosh. As you go about the next 10 days, as you go about your traveling, your shopping, your wrapping, your cooking, your coordination with your family members, with Cedar, with everything else that's going on, remember to love. Remember to share your light, and especially when you don't feel like it. Dang, Christmas makes me crazy. Catch yourself on that one. Let it make you crazy for a second. And then come back to love and light. Just keep spreading it. Because you know what happens? If you let all that out, you get more inside to give. It's a win-win situation. You know, there's people at Target, and there are people at every retail store you can think of, and there are police out there trying to watch the traffic to make sure people are safe. And there are all kinds of public servants who are sometimes not thanked enough for doing what they do during this time. Some of you among us are those people. Thank you. Thank you for your selfless service for people who might be impatient, people who might be a little ugly, people who might be scrambling over the last of one item. Y'all don't do that in the bookstore. Not kidding you. If I see two people tugging on a bowl, I'm going to intervene, I promise you. Don't forget your wonder. Don't lose that. No matter what we've been through in our lives, if we lose wonder, we've lost a whole lot more. We've lost our hope. We've lost our ability to expand our love. We've lost our innocence. We've lost our trust. So go ahead and be abashedly filled with wonder. If you drive down a street full of pretty Christmas lights, look at them. You know? I love you. So glad to share this season with you. We are so lucky, aren't we? That we have each other. That we all have each other. Let's pray. Create in us a clean heart, O God. That we might be as little children with trust and wonder and innocence and humility. Create in us a clean heart that we may be wise. That we may take that which life has taught us and bring it to serve others, to honor others, to bless others. Create in us a clean heart so that our grief is softened, so that our anger is tempered, so that our impatience is dissolved, so that thinking less of ourselves than divine creatures is gone forever. And on those clear nights, if you'll just step outside and look up at the stars, and think about how long that light has been traveling before your retina has a chance to process it and be filled with wonder. And if a person comes into your life and has the right words at the right time, embraces you with love when you need it the most, well, you may have just been touched by an angel. And as you walk out in nature and you see the smallest of creatures scrambling for a place to hide from the coming cold, and as you watch the deer settling down after their season, as you watch the birds and the squirrels preparing themselves, as you see a field of horses or cattle or sheep, bless them all. And let the love of this season heal you and energize you. Focus upon your heart space right now and see if you can let it expand to hold as much love as you possibly can. And for all the goodness and wonder of life, give thanks with your deepest gratitude where all is well. And all is well. And in a few days, when we have that longest day of darkness, take wonder in the turning of the earth, in the earth's very ritual. Our God, the Great Spirit, is Mighty Spirit. And it will go with you through all the challenges of your life to give you hope and comfort and peace and wonder. Do you see what I see? It's the light of God. It's the love of God, the power of God, the protection of God. And so it is.